So here we go. The next speaker is not on the list. Brian Griffin, TCT member. Oh, I don't know how to introduce all your merits, but he has done a lot. And his last point was the creation of abstract list, which is internal stuff. And for me, at this conference, it's always also important that we understand a bit what happens under the hood. And that's also a story I like, that some people understand what's happening, to get about it. So thank you to make an ad hoc presentation on sure. That point. Thank you.
So what I'm going to talk about is, abstract lists were implemented 2 years ago. It's in Tickle 9. ASHOC this past year, actually probably just a few months, added some additional features built on top of abstract lists. So what I'm going to do is go through what abstract lists are and then describe the work that ASHOC did adding to the abstract list family. So we all know what a list is. It's basically a C array of values, Tickle objects, and you have access the list using integer indexing. And all the values are Tickle objects. The list itself is a Tickle object, and a Tickle object, you know, it's the circ model, which is a string representation, and the internal representations. Okay. I'm sure we're all aware of these things. There's also, you can access the list values and manipulate the list both from the scripts and from C API calls. Right? There's a whole bunch of different operations that you can perform on a list. So what an abstract list does is it separates the data representation from the interactions with the list from both the script level and the C API level. So it allows you to have your data stored in some other form other than just a C array of Tickle object values. And the advantage is, so in order to do that, you have to provide a set of protocol functions to interact with the specialized data representation. So you can do like different forms of data storage. You can even do compute the values on demand. So if I want to index the seventh element in this list, that may not exist at all. And so right when you do that index, it generates the value through some computation. But there's the requirement, you have to follow the rules of what a list is defined to do. So the string representation has to match what a traditional list would look like. There was a command added in Tickle 9 called the list sequence command. It just generates a sequence of numbers based on starting and ending value and step rate. And the neat thing is you can, the creation time of the list is, it's a constant, no matter how big the list is, because it's not actually generating the list, right? All it's doing is remembering what all these parameters are. When the index, an index is requested, it just computes it on demand as needed. So that was, it was a simple operation, you know, a simple new command that was requested independent of abstract list. but it was the test case that I used when implementing Abstract List. Works out pretty well. So why go to Abstract List? Well, you can. It gives you the opportunity to optimize, perform some additional optimizations on value storage and value access. You have flexibilities in how you compute values. It has the potential of reducing the amount of shimmering that might go on in an operation. And I know there's some packages that have their own internal representations, but then when they go at the script level, you try to access the data, it ends up shimmering it to a traditional list. And the Abstract List can prevent that shimmering from happening, which, again, is a performance enhancement. In Tickle 9, all the scalar values internal to Tickle, like an int or double, any that is just a scalar value, a simple string, they participate by providing the protocol function for the list length. So if you did an L length on a scalar value, you know, prior to Tickle 9, that would literally shimmer a scalar value to a list with one element. By providing this, you know, you request the list length, it says, oh yeah, it's just one, and it doesn't shimmer. So, another example of a performance improvement, as small as it is. That was just an example of where this case would shimmer, and this case, or this case would shimmer, but this would not, something like that. Anyway. So can abstract lists improve existing other list operations? And this is the work that Ishak did more recently. So looked at these three list operations, L repeat, L reverse, and L range. And it re-implemented them as abstract lists. And so there's a new abstract list type, repeated list, reverse list, and range list. And so what L repeat does, or did before, was would take the value given here and literally replicate it count number of times to create the L repeated list value. But as an abstract list, it just retains a reference to the requested element list, and it remembered what the count was. And when you iterate over it, index into it, it just does the index math and figures out which value it would have been if it was a real list. And so it doesn't take up all the space of the full length of repeated list. It just has the original values. Again, similar kind of thing with L reverse. It just retains a reference to the original list and just reverses the index calculation. And this is similar with L range. Just retains the reference to the original list and then just does the indexing math when you go to index into the list. So there's efficiencies that come out of this by taking advantage of being able to share the memory for those original values. And the internal representation is smaller by doing that as well. You can end up with what would, if it were to be realized as a string, would be extremely huge, but it never actually has to be that large. So you get efficiencies that way. you could end up creating lists that would otherwise not be possible to fit in memory, period, and still be able to iterate across them. And there may be other side effects of using less memory overall. So Ajak ran some a bunch of tests to figure out how the performance actually turns out. So there are some, you're trading off saving space by costing, you pay for it with more computation time. And so he figured out it's between 4 and 10% in the testing that he did, extra computation. So the abstract list has to create the value each time it's requested. So that's a new memory allocation. That wouldn't be there if the list was already present. There are some operations that could benefit by having the bytecode engine implement the operations. It could do it more efficiently at runtime if it's part of the bytecode engine. So that's something that'll probably be done in the future, especially with Donald's work on doing some improvements on the bytecode engine. It's still some work he's in process of, but that might be easier to do once he's done his current work. So here's some numbers to give you an idea of the trade-offs. So this is length operation. Let's see, what is it? This is L repeat. Okay, so you know, as your repeat count goes up, the runtime goes up significantly. But with an abstract list, the runtime is constant. Similar kind of numbers with indexing. This shows it's a very slight increase. It shows you the extra computation time in some cases for indexing. And then this is a for each loop. And there's some little extra overhead on these operations. Again, because I think this was the LSCQ command. You have to do the memory allocations for each element. So in addition to this work, Ashok also implemented these C API calls to give access to these newer list operations, the reverse, repeat, range operations. So it's also accessible through the C API that wasn't available before. This will be in the next tip of 9 of these, I think. I don't remember.
9-1.
That's 9-1, okay. Yeah. So, applause for Ajak. Any questions?
Maybe too specific. The L range makes me a bit wrong. If I have some list with some large extra elements, and then I say, okay, now I want only the short one, I replace the variable that's coordinated by an L range, but then in memory, the remaining arguments will still remain in memory.
Well, the L range will have a reference to the original.
So the original long list, which for example,
right,
very much.
It'll retain that until it's release your. That's
so the question would be if there would be some real cleanup workaround where I say, okay, now I really want just this range and everything else shut.
Well, you can.
In the moment you modify something, the whole list must be copied.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in the past, taking an range of it was such a copy, but now it's no longer a copy.
At the moment you have the copy when you do the L range, then it is literally copied out. Now the copy happens if you modify something in the L range list.
Yeah.
It'll shimmer. It's
if I modify the list, but L range no longer is a modification of
it. Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't create a modified copy.
It does no longer create a modified copy.
Yeah.
But I guess if you take the original list and set it empty, then you will have a copy of it.
So
you get the L range. And then you reset the original list to empty.
Well, the original list is already, I have one variable that contains the original list. I make an L range, make it with the, what is the K combinator string. So the original variable is already out of scope, but the L range will still contain a reference to the long list.
No, not necessarily. If the original list is gone, then it's, I'm not sure.
It might still replace it by the shorter one if the original is gone.
Yeah. So to show what happens, you have a TCL object, that's a list of four elements, and you have a reference count of one. So the main point is a reference count.
Yes.
So here the reference point is count. Mm-hmm. Now you do an L range on it, so you have a new option which is called L range object, which points to here. And for example, if it was L range 1 to 2, so it has the parameters 1 on, and 2 stored, so to get the 2 and the 3, and so on. Yeah. And what this also does is it increments, of course, the reference count.
Right, of course, 2.
In the moment when this one is modified, they know that's tickle standard. We have to make a copy because this one is needed here, and the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
If this one is changed, you have to copy it out, and you have to reduce the reference count. So that's all magic stuff.
That's
the status quo. But now the problem is the original list. Let's say it's 1 million elements large, and then I only want to retain the first 5 elements of it. But actually, in memory, all the million elements are retained. That's a very rare case, of course.
Yeah.
But the question would be, is there an idiom, some language feature that I could use to say, okay, here is this long list, I want only these elements of it, and really forget the old list. In this special case, don't make a new smart list out of it.
I mean, on the C level, you can make an application.
Is there pointers back to our
special case?
Well, I'm talking about TQ level.
Maybe possible using with LMAP. LMAP on the L range, LMAP I on the L range of things, and the body is set I. And the LMAP returns you a list. And I suspect that is a proper copy then.
That might work, but it will probably be a big O of N.
The
topic I was thinking of doing L range with one element less and then just L append.
Well, what Harold said is if you force a shimmer, you end up with just the portion of the list.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just rewrite the value of one of the elements, it will shimmer the list.
Append an X and then stop it again, and then it goes through the string conversion and back or something. Yeah, that could also.
Okay, that might work. Or just append an X and then do again L range, and so it will only contain the short list with that X extra.
Yeah. So there are many applications that, for example, we have today seen the multi map stuff. So that's all great candidates for that. Brian, what was your initial idea to implement that? What was the starting point?
Well, the starting point was someone made a request for the LSEQ command, which similar to something that's in Python.
Yeah.
We're doing for loops. And when I dug into it, I discovered that there was a similar request that was much older in the TIP repository. When I started digging into that request to see if it was exactly the same thing or not, I ran across some discussion descriptions from, I can't remember its name, who did the coroutine, implemented the coroutines?
Yeah, I don't remember NASA from Brazil.
Argentina, Miguel Sofa.
Miguel Sofa, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was, he wrote some stuff about this idea of like sequencing, generating sequences and stuff, and basically described abstract lists as a way of implementing this sequence thing, and wrote some stuff about it. I read through that and said, well, that sounds like a really good idea, so I actually implemented what he described.
Donald Fellows commented that he very much likes the reduction in memory, so he's a fan of the memory reduction.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest win is you can...
It is also what...
If you have so large data that you can represent in very small space in your customization, you can then make that accessible at the script level by creating a custom abstract list type for your whatever your data representation is.
Brian Jeffen.